Thank you everybody for coming this evening to our brand new series, brand new class called Escape to Nowhere. It's basically a topic I'd like to explore together on Sefer Yonah. So Sefer Yonah is our center text. We might divert a little bit. We might go a little bit elsewhere on occasion to study the subject of escaping from Hashem. That's the idea, escaping from Hashem to nowhere. Actually, you can't escape from Hashem.
Well,
and that's the central lesson of Sefer Yonah. So we're going to focus on Sefer Yonah. And the truth is, each one of us struggles with the desire to escape from Hashem somehow and not be in his view, under his guidance, so that we can do what we want to do. And that's the struggle of man. And we're going to study that a little bit. So it's very special that we're starting this Sefer. I've never taught this Sefer before, although we read it every year. All of us are familiar with the story. And I think that if we go a little bit deeply into the book, there's a lot of lessons that we can learn as individuals and as a community from Sefer Yonah, about leadership, all sorts of things that we can learn from Sefer Yonah. Let's start just a little bit of brainstorming. Please feel free to pop in with a question or comment or something that comes to mind. But when we say Sefer Yonah, what are the things that come to mind with the story of Yonah? Right, we know Yonah is getting the command from Hashem to go and preach to the city of Nineveh that Hashem is terribly upset with them and he's going to destroy the city, actually in 40 days. And everyone does teshuvah. Yonah has his personal struggle through the story. Just trying to jog your memory a little bit with the story. Obviously very famous, we all know the story of Yonah being in the belly of the fish. Maybe it was two fish, wasn't just one. Maybe he was spat out by one and swallowed by another, and then he was spat out to shore, eventually getting to Nineveh, and then having his own personal crisis at the end of the Sefer of Yonah. The whole story, as dramatic as it is only four chapters long. It's a very, very short book, but there's a lot to say about it. So when I talk about Yonah, let's try to frame the idea a little bit. What are the themes that come out of the Sefer Yonah? What sort of themes emerge from the book? When you think of the book, it's a complex story. There's a story of a person, there's a story of a community, there's a story of the Jewish people, there's a story of the non-Jewish people, there's the sailors. Let's try to wrap our arms around the themes of Sefer Yonah. Throw out some of the ideas, some of the themes of Sefer Yonah. What comes to mind? It's a good place for me to pause and wait for you to think about something. Does something come to mind? What's a theme? A basic theme. Let's start. It doesn't have to be very large, very big, very basic. Let's throw something out. What's a basic theme? Repentance. Teshuvah. Teshuvah. What do we want to fine tune that a little bit? We have a lot of repentance in the Torah and the Navi, in literature. Jewish literature is packed with the concept of teshuvah. We spend a month doing teshuvah. What specifically do we want to focus on when we talk about teshuvah over here? What aspect of teshuvah? Hashem is the recipient of a person's plea for teshuvah, the person doing teshuvah, the act of teshuvah, the context of teshuvah. What are we focusing on over here when we talk about teshuvah? What do you see in the story? I'm assuming there's a general knowledge of the story. Yes, is that correct?
Yeah.
General knowledge of the story? Are you generally knowledgeable of the story?
I just want to confirm that Yonah was a prophet then.
Yes, Yonah is a prophet. We're going to go and study the text, but I just want to kind of introduce today.
Self-reflection?
You know what, I see that not everybody knows the story well enough, so I'm just going to review it very briefly. Okay, and I apologize. I assume that we'd be generally familiar with it. I want to review it. It's also very. You go online. You Google Jonah, you know, there's so many pictures and it's all over and everyone's talking about the book. It's a famous story. It's very dramatic. Kids' books are written on the theme. But basically the story is this individual prophet, Jonah, we'll talk about him some more, gets a command from God, go to the city of Nineveh and tell them what I'm going to tell you. Jonah goes immediately and he runs away from Hashem. Immediately, Jonah is trying to escape the word of God. He boards a boat. The boat takes off. On the way, there's a tremendous storm. He falls asleep in the bottom of the ship, and he's awakened by a screaming captain that tells him, "Get up! What are you doing sleeping? Don't you see we're drowning? Get up and pray." Jonah gets up. They pray. They draw lots. They find out it's all because of Jonah. Jonah tells them, "Throw me into the water." They say, "We can't do this." They pray to God, and finally, they have no other choice. They try to row back to shore, and they throw him in the water. And they see that all the water subsides, and they realize, really, Hashem really is the God. Okay. Then Jonah's swallowed up by the fish. He's in the water. He's, you know, falling into the water. Chapter 2. He's in the fish. He's overwhelmed. There's a lot of beautiful poetry. Jonah davens to God. He tells him how he feels about being in the belly of the fish and feeling like he's never going to see the light of day again. And there's a whole episode of what happens in the belly of the fish. Jonah does teshuva. God tells the fish, spit him out to dry land. Jonah goes to Nineveh and reluctantly he tells them, "Guys, you better do teshuva. God's going to destroy Nineveh." And they say, "Okay," immediately, even before the king hears about it, everyone does teshuva, and then the king hears about it, he adds additional decrees, and within the 40 days, the whole city is a different place. Everyone is screaming and praying to God and doing teshuva very dramatically. They automatically accept the word of Jonah. God doesn't destroy the city. Jonah leaves town, he sets up tents outside of the city, and it's a very hot day, and then he has, without getting into details, he has a personal experience over there where he's informed of God's mercy for the city of Nineveh. And so the book basically concludes. So what are the themes? So Smadar says teshuva, and specifically about teshuva, self-reflection, you said?
Yes.
What do you mean by self-reflection?
He said, "I'm not going to go," and then realizing, he's thinking about, look what's happening, maybe it's me, and throw me into the water and things will change, he's looking into himself and looking at the circumstances and how his actions and behavior and his choices are affecting the world and what he can do as his own action and his choices and his behavior that will and then in turn affect the world.
Being the chosen gives you no choice.
Sorry?
Being the chosen gives you no choice.
Right. So this idea, that's one of the major themes of Sefer Yonah. You are forced into circumstances by God sometimes on a mission, whether you like it or not. God will constrict the belly of the fish around you. God will narrow the hallway so that you have nowhere to turn. Sort of like the mule of Bilam, that had nowhere to sway back and forth, and he has to walk on this particular path, and he's told by God, "This is specifically what I want you to do." God turns people into missionaries, if you will. They're on a mission. They're on a mission by God, whether they like it or not. And in that process, there's tremendous growth and development, which is very difficult because people realize in our lives, I mean, this is every day, this is why it's so interesting. We do this, we have this every day. We feel like, whatever the situation is, why am I in this situation? I want to escape my circumstances. All of us wish to be in different circumstances. The grass is always greener on the other side. And why did God put me here? And the message from God to us all is, there is a mission. And now we need to figure out sometimes what that mission is. Sort of like when Jonah's told, "Go to Nineveh and talk to them about what I'll tell you to do."
But he was lucky. He was actually told what to do. I wish I had it that
true,
easy.
True. He was a prophet and the mission was that important, was so grand that he was told what to do. Our mission is also important, but for us, part of the mission is our own voyage and understanding what to do. And that itself is building the relationship. Jonah was on a higher level because he already had an established relationship with Hashem as a prophet, and now he's on a big mission. But we can take it down to our level, where we don't hear the word of God directly, but we can look into our lives and try to understand, as confusing as things could be, we can try to understand, why am I in this constricting continuously to, you know, it's difficult, sometimes I'm choking, sometimes I'm not, but I feel like I'm being pushed in a certain direction. What's the message? There's a mission. So number one, if I would talk about repentance, thank you Smadar and Oded, if I were to talk about specifically about repentance, it's about the struggle of the person being sort of swayed and brought toward a state of sometimes desperate repentance, saying, okay, fine, I'll do it. Life circumstances sometimes bring us to that, where we'll give in. Okay, so that's one theme of Sefer Yonah.
But why didn't he want to go? That's my...
Great, the big question. Maybe we'll understand that some more. Let's peer into it a little bit, okay? What's another major theme of Sefer Yonah?
Of the Nineveh people. And this comes interesting. Why Hashem wants to destroy Nineveh and create the problem and the solution at the same time? The problem of Nineveh and the solution of Yonah. Mm-hmm. And he tried to make them coincident, so when Yonah reached Nineveh, everything will be settled.
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of interesting two episodes or two plays coming at the same time.
Okay.
So I mean, there's no need for Yonah if there's no Nineveh, no need for Nineveh if there's no Yonah.
Okay, I understand that. There's definitely another theme here that I think Oded is picking up on, which is really important in the book of Yonah, and that is seeing myself in the context of the world. And it's part of the first one, where I'm forced into a circumstance. But sometimes that could be personal. That doesn't affect anybody else. I am in what I believe to be a crisis, and in that crisis, I hear the mission, and I'm trying to understand the mission. But then there's something else. There's me in the context of the community, me in the context of my family, my community, my neighbors, the world, my environment, where I am in that situation, and I realize, like Oded is saying, and Oded, you're exploring, that maybe there's an interdependence one on the other. There wouldn't be a Yonah, there wouldn't be Imein Torah, in der Acheretz, Imein der Acheretz, in Torah. If there's no Yonah, there's no Nineveh. If there's no Nineveh, there's no Yonah. Sometimes it's interdependence. God orchestrates a situation where there's an individual or there's a group of individuals in a certain circumstance for the growth of the community and the growth of the individual. And the individual needs to explore myself and how, and that's one thing. And then, myself in the context of a community. That my personal crisis, if I don't face up to my personal crisis, the way I'm supposed to do, that has an effect on, in this case, the world. A city. The community. And I have to realize that my actions matter. That's a second aspect. That I offer it to you to, you know, frame in your own way, but I'm just trying to sort of pick up what you're saying, and I was thinking along those same lines, that there's the individual narrative of Yonah, and there's the collective narrative. Interestingly, the book of Yonah is not called the book of Nineveh. It's called the book of Yonah. It's not about Nineveh so much. It's about Yonah.
Right, because there were other prophets at the time. But Yonah was chosen for this because it was for Yonah.
Yes, and that's what we're going to talk about that. Who is Yonah? Why is Yonah being chosen? Have we ever heard of Yonah before? When does Yonah live? What's the historical context? What did Yonah do in his life? What else do we know about Yonah, for example? And if we understand that, maybe we can understand why he escaped. Maybe. I discussed that with Alex over Shabbat a little bit. Maybe we can... Let's try to get into the mind of Yonah a little bit, if possible, of course. Just a little projecting, if you will. But maybe we can understand that. So theme number one, self-reflection. Theme number two, a subset of that, is how am I in the community? I'm going to throw out something else.
Yeah, I thought to ask myself, if you check the Yonah, Means he was the captor of Ashur, I think.
Okay.
Now, I think in Miyahu say, Oy Ashur, Sheretapiu Matel Biadam Zami. That means they were actually against the Jewish people.
Okay.
Now you're not go to help the enemy in a way to avoid destruction, the captor of the enemy.
Okay.
And this is another conflict that he has to stand. They are not Jewish. He may be Jewish. And you have to...
You're a step ahead of me. You're a step ahead of me. Very good. Theme three, I was going to suggest that, and this is throughout the book. How do Jews, classically, traditionally, how do Jews respond to such crisis? And what are the results of that crisis? And how does the Gentile world respond to the crisis? And what are the results of that crisis? This is a major theme of the book of Yonah.
Yeah.
Yonah doesn't want to go to Nineveh, ladies and gentlemen. It's well known. Yonah did not want to go to Nineveh because Yonah knew that as soon as he came to Nineveh, they would for sure do Teshuvah. They were closer to Teshuvah than the Jewish people, which is something the Maharal of Prague struggles with. How could it be the Jewish people, the chosen people, they're so far away from Teshuvah? How could it be? Wouldn't you think they'll be closer to Teshuvah?
Maybe they didn't need it.
Okay, whatever the reason, I just want to develop the theme. Yeah, I appreciate, but let's just develop the theme. The Jewish people respond differently. When they're faced with this crisis, they constrict. They don't want it. They say, I don't want to deal with this. God, get out of my life. I don't want to hear. The Navi can be pounding down the door morning and evening, telling the Jewish people, Rabbi, ladies and gentlemen, you have to do Teshuvah. There's no way out. The Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. You're going to be exiled, and worse things will happen. All sorts of difficult things will happen. The Jewish people, they don't respond. The Goyim, they get one guy, walks into town, some lunatic, and he starts running through the streets and saying, the city's going to be destroyed! And all of a sudden, even before the king hears about it, right away, they all respond, oh my goodness, did you hear? Nineveh is going to be destroyed. You mean Nineveh is going to be destroyed? The sky is falling, the sky is falling. And they run around and everyone does teshuvah. The king hears about it. He insists that everyone does teshuvah, and immediately they all do teshuvah and they transform. When Yonah's on the boat, the sailors, they're not Jewish, they're all crying to their gods. As soon as they realize that when they put Yonah in the water, the water subsides, they turn to God and they promise, Rashi says, they converted to Judaism on the spot. They decided, that's it. God's the God. I'm disposing of my whole life ideology, and I'm becoming a Jew. And the city of Nineveh did the same thing. Yonah doesn't want to go to Nineveh for that reason. So understanding the... Another point, you've made a very good point, is understanding the struggle, the conflict with the Teshuvah, Jew and Gentile, is another theme of Sefer Yonah. There are higher and other themes of Sefer Yonah, but let's backtrack now and understand who Yonah is a little bit and what it's all about. First of all, as Emma, you pointed out, Yonah is a prophet. It says in the Gemara and Megillah, whatever page it is, page 15, the Gemara says in Megillah that there were 48 prophets to the Jewish people. And Rashi over there lists all the prophets. One of them is Yonah. And the Gemara teaches that the book of Yonah was compiled, was written by Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. So that means it was written toward the end of the Second Temple era. It was written toward the end of the Babylonian exile, beginning of the First Temple of the Second Temple era. That's when the Book of Yonah is written. And why at that time that they wrote this book? The Gemara tells us in Bava Batra that they wrote Sefer Yonah. And why didn't Yonah write his own book? They also wrote other books. They wrote the book of Esther, that we're familiar with very well from the story of Purim. They wrote the book of Daniel. They wrote the book of Yechezkel. And they wrote the 12 minor prophets, of which Yonah is one of the 12 minor prophets, called Treyasar, or Shneimasar, the 12 minor prophets. Shneimasar means 12 in Hebrew, Shneimasar. So why did they write this? So Rashi says, one second, why did Yechezkel, the great prophet Ezekiel, why did he write his own Sefer? He was a very important, prominent prophet, prophet Ezekiel. Why didn't he write his own book? Why didn't Daniel write his own book? Why didn't Esther write her book? Mordechai was a member of this assembly of Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. But Daniel didn't write his own book, Yechezkel didn't write his own book, and Yonah didn't write his own book. So Rashi says, I don't know why Yechezkel didn't write his own book. He says, maybe because he wasn't in Eretz Yisrael. Yechezkel was in Babel. And since he was in Babel, you don't write prophecy in Babel. You don't write prophecy outside of the land of Israel. That's critical, actually, in the story of Yonah. Why does Yonah run away? Where is he going to run away to? He's going to run.
What is
it? He runs to? He writes, sorry? Abroad. Why abroad?
So the proxy will look.
Right. The prophecy cannot reach him abroad. Hashem does not...
Escape the prophecy?
He escapes the word of Hashem, the prophecy. Why is he running? Because the prophecy can only be heard in Israel. Mm. So he's going to a place where God's voice, God's word cannot reach. So that's why the book of Yechezkel was not written by Ezekiel himself, because he could not compose a book in the exile. Daniel, the same way, could not compose a book in the exile. So what about Yonah? We know Yonah was in Israel. Okay? He escaped for a little bit. For a few days he was in the fish's belly. He went to Nineveh. But that was only maybe 30-day hold. The whole episode is about maybe 2 weeks. He was away from Israel. But he lived in Eretz Yisrael during the First Temple era. So he lived during the First Temple era, but his book was written at the end of the Babylonian exile. So let's say like 100+ years after Yonah lived, the book of Yonah is composed. Why didn't Yonah write his own book? So Rashi explains that since the prophecies, the stories and the prophecies were so small, they were so minor, like the book of Yonah is 4 chapters long, it's not too big, we read it on Yom Kippur in the afternoon, it's a very short book. So the prophets did not write them themselves, basically people could know it by heart, and it wasn't something that they had to publish the book. But 100+ years later, when they saw that prophecy was dissipating, so the people, the men of the great assembly, Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, Mordechai was one of them, they sat down and they, with divine inspiration, they composed the book of Yonah so it would not be lost.
I have a question. Yechezkel saw Hashem in the Golan.
Yes, that's a good question.
And
we'll come to that.
This is prophecy.
We'll come to that.
Right there,
yes.
In the Golan.
Yes. Yes.
So it was Moshe Rabbeinu.
Yep, also Moshe Rabbeinu. Well, Moshe Rabbeinu is not so difficult because that's before they came into Eretz Yisrael. Yonah himself. What happens with Yonah? God says to Yonah, go to Nineveh, where I'll tell you what to say. Yonah escapes. He gets on the boat, he tries to get to far away. The fish spits him outside of Nineveh. He gives a prophecy in Nineveh. Apparently God's talking to him, but let's say he just says what Hashem told him originally. Then he moves out of the city, at the outskirts of the city. He's outside of Eretz Yisrael, and God speaks to him in the Pasuk. It says clearly, Hashem spoke to Yonah in Chutz La'aretz.
Yeah.
So what does it help that Yonah ran away? Very perplexing. What is that? What is that? What is we will get back to that. I want to talk about where Yonah is, but that's something we need to revisit. What is the communication of God to a prophet outside of Israel? And why was Yonah escaping? What was he really escaping? You have to understand that.
I have some questions about Yechezkel.
Okay, we'll come back.
Daniel, so also the prophecy written on the wall,
mm-hmm.
in the Gola.
Yeah, many prophets.
So the prophecy actually done in the Gola. So this, what Rashi says, that if the prophecy doesn't go right,
cannot
if
be
you don't write it, it's not correct.
So we need to explore.
Maybe
that. We need to explore that. So Yonah is written by the men of the great assembly about 100+ years afterward. Yonah is a prophet. Okay. The Gemara Yerushalmi, Talmud Yerushalmi says in Tractate Sukkah, it says that Yonah participated in the first temple in the Simchat Beit HaShoeva. So he attended the temple. Yonah was a big tzaddik. He was a well-known person, whether he had prophecy for a prolonged time or not, we will see in a moment. But he was a figure, as many people were. And he attended the Simchat Beit HaShoeva, where he danced, and he received prophecy. He had Ruach HaKodesh, divine inspiration, at the first temple. So Yonah is a noted figure at the Simchat Beit HaShoeva. Okay? At this event over Sukkot. The Gemara elsewhere in Yevamot says that Yonah, though, only received an actual prophecy twice in his life. If you look through the whole Tanakh, this is very significant. If you look through the whole Tanakh and you look for where Yonah appears, obviously in the book of Yonah, and in one other place, Yonah is mentioned in the book of Melachim, the book of Kings, where he's mentioned in passing that there was some prophecy to him. It doesn't say what the prophecy was. Just, by the way, it mentions Yonah. So Yonah, in the Tanakh, is not a very spoken about figure. He's mentioned in passing, and then there's a book about him.
Do you know what tribe he was in?
Yes. His father was from one tribe, his mother was from another. I think he was from the tribe of Zebulun. And the other was from the tribe of, Asher. I think Asher and Zebulun. When he went down to the sea, why did he go to escape by the sea? Zebulun resides by the sea. So, he goes to a familiar territory, and he's looking for a boat. Okay. So yes, those are the tribes that he's from. His father's from one tribe, his mother's from another tribe. That's documented in the Midrash.
Right.
So, this gives us a little background. Yonah might be an important person. He's prominent in the Simchat Beit HaShoeva. There was a prophecy that he got that's mentioned, but the Gemara says he only got the prophecy twice. Well, guess what? In our book, it says God spoke to Yonah for the second time, and that's where the Gemara says only a second time and never again. So that means there was one prophecy once before, and now in our book, twice God speaks to Yonah, and that's it. Yonah's gone. Yonah's done being a prophet. The story is over. After this, Yonah's done being a prophet. He might be a very great person, but he never receives another prophecy.
I think the second one Hashem talked with him was when he was under the Kikayon tree.
Yes.
And he said, "You feel
correct.
Sorry about the tree
correct.
That you done not worry."
That's the
and
second
very
one.
Personal. Not
yes.
International is the first one.
Yes, but from there the Gemara says, from here, this is the last time Yonah communicated with Hashem.
Yeah, because it started to get personal.
Oh, okay. I don't know why, but yeah, I hear. But that's the second time. That means that Yonah, all we have a record of is one prophecy somewhere in passing, and this is the second book. Which begs the question, if I'm God, and I'm going to save some big, important city, the capital of Ashur, the capital of the great Ashur kingdom, and I'm going to send a prophet to Nineveh to tell them that I'm going to destroy the city. I mean, this is major news. Why do I choose Yonah? I mean, ladies and gentlemen, who's around at that time? Yirmiyahu Hanavi, Yechezkel Hanavi, many great prophets, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, they're around, or there are other great prophets at that time. This prophet Huldah is there. There are many great prophets at that time. Why are we choosing Yonah? At that time, at the end of the first temple period, we're choosing a no-name, if you will, not to insult Yonah in any way, but not a famous prophet, to send him on a major mission.
Well, Hashem knew what he would do.
What would
he
do?
That he would try to run away and go on the ship.
Okay.
So Hashem probably had plans for the other people involved in the story.
The other people were not involved in the story.
Well, the sailors converted.
Oh, okay. Okay. So this tells us, that it's not so much about the mission to go to Nineveh. Because if it's about the mission, then you send someone really big and prominent. It's about the mission. Everyone knew Yirmiyahu Hanavi. He was famous. And so on. To take a if you will, a no-name prophet, a smaller prophet, and I don't mean in any way, God forbid, to insult in any way Yonah. I'm saying, compared to the great prophets of Israel, Yonah, who's a great person in his own right, but only achieved Nevuah twice recorded. He's not, you know, his book is not 60 chapters long, like the book of Isaiah or other books. And he didn't have prophecy over prophecy over prophecy. We found very little about him in the Tanakh. And Hashem is choosing Yonah at this time to send him on a major mission. It must be. It's not about the mission. It's not about the mission. It's about the person. Sometimes, as we can say, sometimes it's the mission that makes the person. It's not the person for the mission. You put a person in a position, in a certain position, a great position, a position of a great mission. They may not be the person for that job initially, but that person will come and will struggle with things on a personal level that will make them personally great, or possibly at least have a conflict. Maybe not. Maybe they will not achieve. But it's about the person, and that's why it's the book of Yonah. So Nineveh is a background. It's about the story of Yonah, about self-reflection, and so on. So that's the focus. In the background, there's other major things going on. So it really speaks to us as individuals. You know, each one of us might think to ourselves, and we do think to ourselves, that, who am I? I'm just an average person, and I'm doing something really important. Why am I in this? Why am I doing this important thing? Something I'm involved with. Why is this important? I'm just an average person. The answer is that there's something for us to learn from this situation as individuals.
So in this case, it's similar to you, which also are personal.
Yes. Yes, it's personal.
And this is different culture of prophecy, but very similar in a way, because Ayub is basically non-Jewish, as we know it, and it's our personal dilemma, that maybe it's different, but it's our personal, and you know the same story, is avoidance, and let everybody keep it on, it's our personal.
Right. The uniqueness of the Sefer Yonah, as you pointed out before, is that in Sefer Yonah, there's a global context. There's something, but there's an environment out there. And we're learning about that environment. And there's no Yonah, there's no environment, and so on. There is that situation, but the focus is on Yonah by Eov. It's a very personal situation. It's very personal. It's about his household and his family, which is much more personal. Okay. There's another dimension to this book, which we're going to explore as we go along the way. Still ask yourselves, okay, so Yonah, okay, so there's this prophet who went through this situation, and it's in the Tanakh because it's really important for us to know. We know that the Gemara teaches in Megillah, the Gemara teaches that only essential prophecy is canonized in the Tanakh. There were many prophets over the course of Jewish history. There were over 1 million prophets during the First Temple. But there are only a few of them. Only 48 prophets are in the whole Tanakh, that 48 men and 7 women, that their prophecy somehow is an eternal message. What is so eternal about Yonah? It's an important story. It's a dramatic story. It's a great story. It wasn't written for more than 100 years. Came along the people of the Great Assembly. They wrote the Book of Daniel. That's certainly an important story. Very important story. The prophecies of Yechezkel, certainly important. The Book of Esther, certainly important. And you know, and then all the minor prophets, which most of them rebuked the Jewish people, Hosea and Amos and all these other minor prophets, basically speaking to the Jewish people, and the story of Yonah. What is so important about this little prophecy, this story of Yonah, in the history of the Jewish people? Again, we can take it to the level of how Hashem has compassion about the dynamic of Jew and Gentile world and Tshuva, but there's another added dimension. And this brings the Zohar and the mystical, the mystics, if you will, like the Vilna Gaon, the Rabbi Eliyahu Kramer of Vilna, and others, to elaborate on the Book of Yonah and explain that really the Book of Yonah is one of the secrets of the Tanakh that reveals, and we're not going to touch on this directly all the time, talks about the relationship between the soul and the body and coming into this world and day and judgment before God and facing God after death. When God says to, for example, Yonah, here is, Yonah is, what's another translation as we know for Yonah? A dove. Yonah is a dove. Yonah is the dove that did what? It flew off the boat when Noah sent the Yonah. The Yonah is compared, this flying thing is compared to the Neshama, which is sent down with a mission into the world. And as soon as it's sent into the mission, into the world, it tries to escape the mission. So there's, and there's a lot of literature over here to explain that coming down to Nineveh, to the big city, is the world. And the little person, Yonah, is the Neshama coming into the world. And how the Neshama tries to avoid a mission. And ultimately, whether the Neshama likes it or not, Al korchacha atanolad v'al korchacha atamit. Against your will, you're born. And against your will, you die. Hashem sends you into the world for a mission. And whether you want to escape the mission or not, you're here for a mission. And the Vilna Gaon goes in tremendous depth, Kabbalistic depth, to explain that the story, and that's why the story, according to the mystics, that's why it's canonized in the Tanakh, is because it's significant in terms of the narrative of the individual and the struggle, the personal struggle on a spiritual level, a very metaphysical, spiritual level of the person in this world. That's another reason the Sefer Yonah is so critical in the Tanakh, not just because of the drama of the individual, not just because of the Gentile Jewish dynamic, but also because it sheds light into the struggle of the neshama and the body and coming into this world. And we're going to touch upon that as we go. We'll reference different things that the Vilna Gaon has written about particular passages in the Book of Yonah. So this is a small introduction now to who Yonah was. Yonah is in the Tanakh. He's a minor prophet. God is speaking to Yonah. The themes of Sefer Yonah. Some of the themes of Sefer Yonah. The unique place that the Book of Yonah has in the Tanakh. And next time, next session, what I hope to do is to present the basic questions that we ask, like, why did Yonah run away from Hashem? And maybe we can try to understand that in light of what we said this evening, but in being a minor prophet and trying to understand what God wants from him, why me, and so on, try to get into that, and we'll try to break apart the two major events in the first chapter, Yonah's running away from Hashem, and the events on the ship. And that's where we're going to head to next session. Okay? So food for thought, as we move ahead, is to think about, in the light of what we've talked about a little bit, why would Yonah run away? I encourage you, in your spare time, to read through the book. It's short. Sefer Yonah is very short. You can read it online. You can read it, you know, download it. It's available in print everywhere. And it's worthwhile. It's a quick read. It's worthwhile reading to get some further insight. Maybe we can come up with some answers together next week on this topic of why Yonah is escaping.